All right. Well, it's a joy to be here. Amen. I was asking Brother Gene a while ago, I don't know why in the world I get to preach up here like I do. I'm so honored to be here. Amen. I feel like a lot of men could do a whole lot better than I could. Amen. Dear Lord, everything's going wrong. Amen. All right. This says it starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for letting us come. It's a joy to be here and an honor. Amen. Always enjoy the good fellowship. And I apologize. I walked in the building a little bit early today to tell Brother Robert I apologize. I couldn't get here. I just had some situations going on. I could not leave. And so I feel awful when I do that. And y'all just have to bear with me just a minute. But I just feel awful when I do that because I like to come in and hear the preaching. Amen. Especially if I'm going to preach. But I don't like to come in and preach and have it been here. But it was a situation I could not avoid. So anyway, thank you all for understanding. Amen. The pastor said he understood, so I appreciate that. Amen. It's good to be here. Good to see friends and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Always a joy to come to this church. And y'all have been so good to us down through the years. And for that, we appreciate it. Amen. The sign said right there, where'd that go? Where'd the sign go? We got it back again? No, you don't have to take it back. Amen. Amen. I think I got a little outline on that. Amen. I had a little outline already worked out when I walked up here. Amen. Amen. It said right there, I fought a good fight. Amen. It said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Amen. I fought a good fight. I've won. Finished the course. I've run. Kept the faith. I'm done. Amen. I don't normally do that, man. I don't get outlines like that. My name is Alfred Willis. Amen. I'm not Buster Mullins, that's for sure. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, thank you all for letting us come. Amen. I like the part, I'm done. Amen. I'm about done. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is good to be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want you to turn to the Genesis tonight, if you would. Genesis. Amen. If you'll turn there, Genesis chapter number 7. Amen. I am not a preacher of prophecy, that's for sure. Amen. I do believe the Lord's coming. Amen. I believe there's going to be a rapture. I believe there's going to be a revelation. I don't know when it's going to be, and you don't either. Amen. So anyway, but I do want to preach from that text tonight. This was a real story that happened in the Bible, as you well know. And the Bible said to take some lessons from the life of Noah. So I want to try to do that with the Lord's help tonight. Amen. So if you'll turn to Genesis chapter number 7, you've already stood. If you're physically able to stand again, we'll stand. Amen. I know you've already stood a lot tonight. Amen. But let's look there in Genesis chapter number 7. Thank you for all the good fellowship, good food. I didn't get to eat much tonight, but I thank you for having a good meal down there tonight. Amen. The good fellowship we've enjoyed. Good to see all of our brothers and sisters. Amen. I really would rather somebody else be preaching. I honestly, now when I get in the message, if I feel like it's going pretty good, then I want to keep preaching. But right now, I wish somebody else was preaching. Amen. Bible said, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by seven, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, the fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female. Sound like there's only two males and females, amen. I don't read anything in between that, amen. To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. And yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Verse 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And then let's look over in verse number 15. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Verse number 20. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Verse number 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, they that were with him in the ark. I want to use that thought tonight. Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. So I want to preach on that thought tonight. Noah only remained alive and they were with him in the ark. So I want to preach on surviving in our society. surviving in our society. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for letting us come, be in the meeting this afternoon to hear the good report of what's already been done, Lord, Monday night and last night and then again today. Thank you, God, for the good report. Even before I got here, Lord, I was talking to the people about the messages and the preaching and the spirit of the services. And Lord, got wonderful comments, and I thank you for that. Lord, I'm here tonight now very nervous, very tense about preaching tonight. I pray you'd help me. Give me liberty, power, and unction. Not here to be some kind of entertainer, but Lord, to try to preach the word of God. I pray fall on good ground tonight. Bring forth fruit that would glorify you. Certainly it would be our prayer if there would be somebody here tonight not ready. Lord, that God, you'd speak to their heart and help them to make that all-important salvation experience tonight. Please help us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Surviving in our society. As I read the Bible or study the Bible, I find several arcs in the Bible. Of course, we're preaching tonight on Noah's ark, protected them against the sovereign anger of God. Then there was Moses' ark, protected them against Satan's assault. I thought that was pretty good about Jochebed building an ark because she probably got the idea from Noah's ark. Bible says she pitched the ark that they put Moses in. Amen. So no doubt she learned in Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, that if God could use an ark to save a whole society, he certainly could use an ark to save my son. And that's the best point I got right there. Moses' ark, the ark of the covenant, protected them against sovereign, protected them against the scriptures announcements. Amen. There was a broken law. Of course, that was put in the ark of the covenant, covered by the mercy seat. So several arks in the Bible. Amen. Noah's ark, as you can see, is a type of Israel in the tribulation. I think we would believe that. That's what Scofield teaches. Amen. Not that he's the master teacher, but he believes that Noah's ark is a type of Israel in the tribulation, going through the judgment of God upon the earth. I'd like to believe that. Somebody put it this way. Engineers built the Titanic, and it sank. Noah built the ark, and it survived. No reflection on engineers. Amen. I once had five in my church. I preached this message. I don't have any now. Is anybody listening? That's the truth, too. That sounds like a joke, but that's the truth. So I never preach this message in my church again. Amen. So Noah's Ark. I saw Noah's Ark in Kentucky, or the replica of that Ark in Kentucky, and I'm sure many of y'all, if not even most of y'all, have been there and saw it. And I'll be honest with you, it put a whole new dimension in my sight when I saw that Ark and built to, I think they built it to 24 inches was a cubic, but nevertheless, it gave a new understanding of what Noah was confronting when he built that ark. Amen. I'll say more about that in a little bit. But that ark is a type of Israel going through the tribulation. Chapter number 5, as you well know, is a type. Enoch was a type of the rapture. Chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the Bible said Noah walked with God and was not. And one day that will be us. Amen. We'll be taken out of this world in the rapture. So we see the typology that's here in the scriptures. I believe we can use Noah and the ark with some thoughts pertaining to as it was in the days of Noah. That's what the Bible says over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. You don't have to turn there. You know these scriptures. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't think that I need to get in that, because there's men here a lot smarter than I am tonight. But I believe the Bible said the flood took them away. I know sometimes that's referred to as the rapture, and you may believe that. You probably right now I'm wrong. I believe that that has to do with the judgment. The judgment took them away. Amen. So I'd like to get an amen on that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can believe what you want. I don't think we'd fall out over that. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible said that the flood took them away. So that was the judgment of God that took them away. Amen. Not necessarily the rapture. Two in the field, one taken, one left. Not the rapture. Amen. But the judgment of God. Amen. It showed their disinterest. The Bible talks about in verse number 38. It talked about their disinterest. It talked about their dumbness. They knew not. It talked about their damnation. They were taken away. Amen. So I see here in our text tonight, amen, about as it was in the days of Noah. How was that day? A corrupt day. And I'll just give you this real quick before I get to the man. It was a day of liberal religion. They had liberal religion. Genesis chapter 4, there was no blood. And I think that carried on. Amen. They were trying to worship God. Cain was going to worship God in his own self-made way with no blood. Amen. Of course, you know Cain represents the first birth. Abel represents the second birth. And I'm simply saying, both of them raised in the same house. And one turned out to be a liberal, amen, and one of them turned out to be a fundamentalist. Both of them raised in the same house. Isn't that amazing how that happens? Amen. There was liberal, there was a lack of restraint. Chapter 6, verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, all of this could be really messages within itself. I'm trying to get to the message, but the Bible talks about a lack of restraint. Only evil, their imagination was only evil continually. In the reference in the Scofield Bible, it said, the whole imagination, the Hebrew word means, talks about the imagination, their purposes and their desires was only evil continually. Sounds like that's where we live in. Amen. I'll say more about that. I was going to say more about that right there. I'll say more about that in a minute. Hey, I'm just telling you, we live in a day that minds are polluted. I like what Brother Dale Massengale and others have said. When your mind gets messed up, you can't even reason. You can't even comprehend the gospel. Amen. And I think we're living in such a day that minds are polluted as has never been since we've been here. Amen. Minds are polluted, morals, amen. Marriages are polluted, liberal religion, lack of restraint, lawless rebellion. Look in verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. They tell me, and I'm not a study of that. I'm just an old country preacher, filled with violence. They tell me the word violence is the word Hamas. Amen. The word Hamas, I don't think that's coincidental. Amen. They're filled with violence. Hamas is a violent, that's a violent group, amen. And the world would be filled with violence. And think about how they're playing in the end time. Amen and amen. So liberal religion, lack of restraint, lawless rebellion. It was a wicked day continually. That's what they were doing. It was the worst day of judgment that has ever been. You know, we hear about tsunamis and hurricanes and these kind of things, and so many got killed. Venezuela, I think the last I heard is probably up now. 3,000 killed in an earthquake, 4,000 killed. We hear about people being killed. But more lived than died. Not in this case. More died than lived. Amen and amen. The worst day of judgment. More died than lived. Now, you preachers will help me again. I even looked that up this morning again. What was the population of the earth in that day? You pull that up, that they don't even know. So I read where some said 1 billion. I read one today said 7 billion. I read another one, they said 10 billion. How many people was in the earth? Well, let's just say, being conservative as we are, say there was 1 billion people. Amen. 1 billion and only 8 saved? Only 8 on the ark, put it that way? I believe there's people that worked on the ark that wasn't saved. That'd probably get me in trouble too. But that, I thought about that. When we built our church in St. Stephen, hey, a lot of people in town come and helped us put the trusses on, put the walls up, did not even know God. So they worked on the church, but they wasn't saved. I believe it's possible people could have worked on the ark and not got in it. Somebody help me. Amen and amen. It was a waning day. Few were being saved. 8 out of 1 billion. That I can't even comprehend that. 8 people out of 1 billion got on the ark. It was a waning day. Few were being saved. I don't know how your church is. Amen. Thank God we saw a couple of people saved Sunday. Amen. That's a cause for rejoicing in Life Baptist Church. Amen and amen. I'm just simply saying a witness today. It wasn't because they wasn't hearing it. Amen. What do you mean? Well, think about Methuselah. He was prophesying. The Bible said he named him Methuselah. When he dies, it will happen. And I read and studied that. Scholars say the year that Methuselah died, hey, the judgment came, the flood came. The very year that it prophesied, it was prophesied 969 years. Isn't that the grace of God? That God would let the oldest man, the man who lived the longest, amen, because he was holding back his judgment. And God is exhibiting grace in that, amen. So I see Methuselah, I see Enoch was partying. Bible said Enoch was not. Everybody in the building's heard this. Every preacher's preached this. Russia put a man in space, called him a cosmonaut. America put a man in his place, called him an astronaut. God put a man in space and called him a was not. Somebody help me. Is anybody listening? Enoch was partying. Amen. Noah was preaching. Can you imagine? What do you think the theme of Noah's message was? It's going to rain, children. I mean, how many ways can you preach it's going to rain for 120 years? Is anybody listening? I bet they can know on the way to church that day. What's he going to preach today? It's going to rain, children. Coming back for the Sunday night service. Hey, what's he going to preach tonight? It's going to rain, children. Amen. Man, he let them know what was coming. Enoch let them know what was coming. Noah let them know what was coming. He was a preacher. You know why the ark wasn't full? Bible said in Peter, Bible said in 2 Peter, he was a preacher of righteousness. You know why some of our churches ain't full? They don't like the righteous part. Amen and amen. I'm rushing to get to my message. Amen. Amen. Enoch was partying. Noah was preaching. The Spirit was pleading. Chapter 6, verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is fled. Yet his days shall be 120 years. I'm just simply saying, the Spirit of God was pleading. There was fulfilled prophecy, and there was faithful preaching. They had plenty of opportunity to be saved. And people today have plenty of opportunity to be saved. Amen and amen. Brother Lance come up to me after I preached. He said, preacher, how do you reckon with a billion people, how do you reckon he reached them all? I said, Brother Lance, I really don't know all of that. Amen. I think it's a good question. But look at our world today. I mean, there's people never heard the name of Jesus. What are we going to do about them? I put this in my notes. Not everyone has enough light to be saved, but everybody has enough light to be damned. Are you listening? That's the only way you can answer that. Not, there's people in the world never heard the name of Jesus. What's going to happen to them at the judgment? Are y'all listening? Hey, if they can get to heaven in their ignorance, amen, just because they haven't heard the name of Jesus, why are we sending missionaries? I mean, hey, if a man can go to heaven because he's sincere and worshiping his false God, let's don't go obligate him. Save a bunch of money in our churches, amen. Anybody listening? There's going to be people, there are people in the world never heard the name of Jesus. How did he go get saved and never heard the name of Jesus? I don't know how I got on this board. It was an ordination board. I was on an ordination board one time. And I'm telling you, there was Dr. So-and-so. And if I call these names, some of you, there was Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so. I'm not exaggerating now. I think it's about seven of us on the board. Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so. And then there was me. And that question come up to the man who is we were ordaining, who was a missionary. And they said, what about people who've never heard the name of Jesus? And I'm telling you, the doctrines were scratching their head. Now, I hope this don't come off wrong. And I just thought this. Hey, if they never heard the name of Jesus, they'd never been saved. You got to get saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father. But what am I preaching this to y'all? Y'all ought to be telling me this. But if you never heard the name of Jesus, you can't be saved. So what does God do about them? They have to first of all yield to their conscience. Well, first of all, they got to yield to creation. Romans chapter 1 said, hey, creation tells us that they're God. Then if you respond to creation, then God will deal with your conscience. And then if you respond to your conscience, God will send you a missionary to tell you about Christ. That's how I got to look at it. If that's wrong, don't tell me. I do know this. The only way to get to heaven is Jesus. And how are they going to get there if they never heard his name? They have enough insight, amen, to be damned, but they don't have enough insight to be saved. Hey, creation will damn you. Hey, if you respond to that, God will deal with your conscience. If you don't respond to that, then you're lost. But if you respond with your conscience, then God will send you a missionary to tell you about Christ. Man, it's mighty quiet, but that's the best I got. I just know this, you can't get to heaven without Jesus. I can't help what Billy Graham said. That's what I'm telling you, just telling you the truth. Who are you to talk about Billy Graham? Billy Graham says you can get to heaven even though you've never heard about Jesus. That's not right. If that's true, why are we spending the money to send missionaries? And so now my answer to Brother Lance was, amen, and he is a missionary, and he did go to Papua New Guinea, and he did preach to people who never heard about Jesus till he got there. So evidently, those people had let creation deal with their hearts. They had let their conscience be dealt with God, and God sent them Lance Neal. Somebody help me. And thousands, I'm not exaggerating one bit, thousands got saved. 30-something churches got started. Because what? God sent a missionary. Are y'all listening? Enoch was parting, Noah was preaching, Spirit was pleading, plenty of opportunity. They rejected preaching, and they rejoiced in perversion. Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be as it was in the days of Lot. They rejoiced in the perversion. That's where we at today. Man, would you have ever thought, and I know everybody, and myself included, we could tell you story after story after story about the perversion we're in today. Amen. How do you survive in a day like that? Well, how did Noah survive? We're going to survive the same way Noah did. He found grace. The Bible said in our text, amen, chapter 7, chapter 6, amen, verse number 8, it said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's how you get there. The Bible says about him, he was lived just. Noah was a just and perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Said that about Enoch. Said that about Noah. He walked with God. If you're walking with God, you got to go where God's going. Amen and amen. He found grace. Amen. Just and perfect, mature, upright, sincere, walked with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 said, by faith Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Bible talks about that in Ephesians. Amen. That's my first point, found grace. Bible said it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 2. Notice what Titus says about that. For the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Bible said he was taught by the grace of God. Amen and amen. He was influenced by the grace of God. How are we going to make it in a day like we're living as in the days of Noah? So shall it be when the Lord comes in. How are we going to make it? You're going to have to be taught by grace. You're going to have to be influenced by grace. What's influencing you? Amen and amen. Here's what I put down in my notes. Amen. You got to stay exposed to the grace of God. That sounds so elementary. I found this to be true. Exposure will change you more than effort. Stay with me now. You got to stay exposed. Once you get saved, hey, it's not over. You got to stay exposed to the things of God. You got to stay exposed. You got to stay around preaching. You don't need prime time. You need preaching time. Amen and amen. Hey, you don't need sermons. You don't need soap operas. You need sermons. Isn't that a contradiction, a soap opera? A soap makes you clean. Soap opera. You know, when you was asking those questions, I wanted to chime in. I knew I was going to get to preach, and I sure didn't want to get in, you know, all y'all were saying. Here's one thing I think, like we've never seen before, is social media. What is destroying us? Social media. That thing you got in your pocket and I got in my pocket. I think that's one of the major problems we got today. I'm telling you, you can just get out. You can pull up a sign. I know what some of y'all are going to think, but I'm old enough it don't matter no more. Now, I'm just telling you, it's the truth. You can pull that thing out and pull up preaching and get filth on there. You're not looking for it. I think it's destroying us. I thank God for the good things you do. I thank God for staying in touch with the missionaries and all that's going on. But I'm telling you, I think the bad is outweighing the good. Are you listening? I didn't tell you to go throw it away. I'm just simply saying, hey, it will take you away from God. Amen and amen. Amen. And you know the old saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. I'm telling you, filth runs across that thing. Amen. How do you know? Because I saw it. How do you think I know? Are you listening? I think one thing destroying us today, young people, God bless y'all. I thank God for you. Amen. But I'm telling you, social media take you away from God. Amen and amen. We need preaching. We need sermons. We need church. Hebrews said there's so much the more as you see that day approach. We don't need less church. We need more church. Amen and amen. What's going to keep me? What's going to keep me surviving in this society? I have to say exposed. It'll change you more. I'll give you an example of that. At our church, I know this don't happen at y'all's church. I have people come to the altar. Amen. They're struggling. You get down and you pray with them and you get up and you say, brother, I hope you got some victory. Oh, yeah, preach. And they don't come back Sunday night. Well, you ain't going to make it long. You're not coming back? I mean, we just went through all of that, and you say you're struggling. You know why you're struggling? You're not staying exposed. Exposed. Hey, it ain't coming at all and making up your mind. Well, now I'm going to live for God. Now, no, you got to stay exposed. That's you in your flesh decide. Hey, you got to stay exposed to the grace of God. You can't afford to miss. Amen and amen. I will never understand that till I get to heaven. And I don't even know if he'll deal with it in heaven. But I will never understand saved people can't even go to church 3 times a week. I never understand that. You mean to tell me that people have given their life for the cause of Christ and you can't even go to church 3 times a week? Man, you got problems. Are you listening? Amen and amen. And I don't care who's preaching. I don't care who you got preaching. They ain't coming back Sunday night. I don't care if Jesus is preaching, they ain't coming back. You can holler. I was reading by one of those old writers. I forget which one it was. Amen. Anyway, he said this. He said, I don't preach on church attendance. I said, let me read that again. That's all I preached on for the first 7 years I was in St. Stephen. I come back Sunday night and I said, Well, so-and-so's not here tonight. And so-and-so, and my daughter would be on the piano. She said, we're here, Daddy. I said, but so-and-so's not here, and so pray for them. And so-and-so, she said, we're here, Daddy. And that's the pianist. That's my daughter. But so-and-so, my daughter said, but Daddy, we're here. I said, you play the piano, and I will do the announcements. Are y'all listening? People don't come to church. You know what's killing us? People don't come to church. Now, I'm preaching to the crowd that does, but I want you to know, don't quit. Amen. How do you not go to church? And you're saved. I can tell you this. If you're saved, don't go to church. Every service, you ain't right. Amen. Somebody that told me they sang a song around here the other night. Brother Tyler told me to pass to the Life Baptist Church. Now, he told me they sang a song here the other night about put the hammer down. I said, you shouldn't have told me that now, Tyler. Hammer on. I think he said hammer down. Somebody hear me. Amen. Say, you got to stay exposed. I know that's elementary, but it ain't real deep. You're going to have to stay around preaching. You got to stay around sermon. You have to stay around church. You got to be around worship. Amen. Amen and amen. You don't need the world. You need worship. Amen and amen. Hey, you got to stay around the Bible. You know what I found in 45 years of pastoring? Most people in our churches are not reading their Bible. Preacher, we come to get something deep. This is about as deep as I got. Most of the people in our church, I know there are exceptions. I know their churches are exceptions. But many people in our churches don't read their Bible. You need Bible more than you need ball. Amen and amen. You know every ball. You know every man on the team. Amen. And I love ball. Amen. Matter of fact, I was a basketball player. This is not what I mean. I'm just telling the truth. I'll tell you how good our team was. I'll tell you how good our team was. I was the captain. Honest to God, that was the truth. Cottageville, I was the captain of the Cottageville High School basketball team. Are y'all listening? We were so bad, we never won a game that year. And so we were playing St. Paul. I didn't know whether I was going to get in all this, Brother Buster. So we was going to play St. Paul. They were the number one team in our conference. And so they had not lost a game. So our coach told us, he said, boys, we can't run with them. He said, ain't but one thing to do, hold the ball. We didn't have no 10-second rule or 30-second. He said, we just go, what do you mean by that, coach? What do you mean? Don't shoot, just hold the ball. Coach, how are we going? He said, just get out there and throw it back and forth. Honest to God, that's the truth. They had not lost a game. We had not won one. And so we played St. Paul, amen, the number one team, and we're the worst. He said, just hold the ball. And so we held the ball. And so they got aggravated. They come out there. They would foul us to get the ball. Do you know? Do you know what happened? The end of that time, the best I can remember, we beat them by 1 point. Wow. Listen to this. At the end of the game, amen, hey, we were 1 point behind. And I went up to shoot the ball, and they fouled me when the buzzer went off. And so the game's over, but I got fouled. And so they said, game's over, but I get to shoot the free shot. And so I went to the line. I mean, they said the crowd, the grandstands is full. Sounds like a lie, but it's the truth. So I had a one-in-one situation. I had a one-in-one situation. He found me right when the buzzer was going. So I had a one. If you know the one-in-one, if you make one, you get another. Everybody knows that. So I get nervous. And my wife was a cheerleader. Guess who was cheering for? Alfred, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. So I go to the free shot line. Preacher, I was so nervous. I got nothing but the net. We done heard that today, Brother Buster. I'm telling you, it's a true story, Brother Buster. Tied it up. So I get one more shot. The game's over. So this shot's going to tell the tale. Are we going into overtime? I didn't get the net that time. It hit the rim, bounced around a little bit, and then it went right through. Man, that place went crazy. My wife said, Alfred, he... We beat the best, and they had already said we're not going to play enough. We were so sorry they weren't going to play us for one time. You know they wanted to play us again, amen. What has that got to? Here's my point. Much as I love ball, you got to be more in the Bible than you are. You got to be more in the Bible than you are playing ball. I tell you about a year and a half ago, man, I got to hurry. About a year and a half ago, they were playing so much volleyball around our church, they got plumb sickening. Are you listening? Now they're not playing any. Are you listening? Here's what I think. One thing's happened. I ain't saying that caused all the problems. I'm just simply saying this. I think they got more interest in ball than they did in the Bible. And I'm for ball. You got to have the right music. If you get the wrong music, get going. Amen and amen. Only rock and roll you need is a rock of ages cleft for me, and when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'm talking about exposure. We have got to stay exposed to the things of God. There's enough outside these doors to drag you down in one day. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. So we've got to stay exposed. Talking about exposure. Amen. Then he had family government. Look at this. Man, I took too much time on that. Look in verse 7. Verse number 7. Chapter 7, verse 7. Bible said, and Noah went in, his sons' wives, with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Amen. Verse 13, the Bible said, and the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and three wives of his sons with them into the ark. In other words, Noah went in. Bible said, to the saving of his house. Look in verse number 1. And the Lord God said unto Noah, come down, all thy house and the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation. So I see, first of all, hey, he got his family in. Say what you want about Noah. He got his family in. Thank God for that. So I see, the Bible said over in Hebrews chapter number 11, you know this verse, Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible says over there, it said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, amen, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, not the saving of the world. He built an ark to save his house. And in saving his house, it saved the world. If every daddy would get their family in, that would save the world. Amen and amen. So he had a local ministry. He saved his house. And he had a global ministry. He saved the world. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to get our homes together. We're trying to get dad. I found this to be true, church. I'm telling you, men are weak today. Instead of man leading the home, the children are leading the daddies. Don't get mad at me. The Bible said there was a plea. Come thou. He didn't say go. He said come. He didn't tell him to go in the ark. He said come in the ark. Evidently God was in the ark. God was the ark. Amen. It was personal. Come thou. I remember in the back of that auditorium that night, I got a personal call from God. Amen. He didn't call my name, but he may as well have. I got a personal call from God. And that night I run down that aisle and got saved because God called me. Hey, it was plea, it was personal. Amen. It was parental. Come down all thy house. I believe Noah taught them boys how to work. I don't think Noah got, I don't think Shem, Ham, and Japheth were laying up in the rack while Noah's out there building the ark and pitching the ark. Are y'all listening? He put them boys to work. They built it out of gopher wood. He said, Ham, go get gopher. You need to go for some wood. By the way, Ham, while you're doing it, pull your pants up. Somebody hit me. Can't work with your pants hanging around your knees, boy. Is anybody listening? Work, worship. I think he told me, I'll grant you, when that flood started coming down, friends, they was in that ark and it was reeling and rocking, I'll grant you, they would say, oh, thank God for Daddy. Daddy got us in the ark. Thank God we're saved. Thank God we're saved. I bet they worship God. Amen and amen. I'm telling you, when the judgment of God falls on this world, and it's already fallen, not the great tribulation, but we are seeing tribulation. Somebody said tonight, the persecution's coming. I believe that. I believe that. I don't know if I'm going to live to see it. I'm just telling y'all, I don't feel like I'm going to die anytime soon. But I mean, it's pretty evident. Hey, I got more behind me than I got in front of me. Not unless I live to be old as Noah. He told him to work. He told him to worship. I'm going to tell you, when we was raising Philip Marcy, that's what we did on Saturday night. We had church. We had church in our house. I built Philip a pulpit about that high. And so we would have church on Saturday night. While everybody else watching TVs or going to the ball game, we was worshiping at the house. So I said, Philip, you the preacher, amen. And Marcy, you the pianist, amen. And I said, I'm the deacon and your mama is the congregation. We did. I'm telling you, that's what we did. And Philip, I tell you, I believe sometime God got in it. Dear God, he started preaching. Get right with God. I said, preach, Bubba, preach, Bubba. And then I get Marcy over there. And she, at that time, she didn't know she was going to be the church pianist. And Philip didn't know he was going to be a preacher. And amen. And I didn't know I was going to be a deacon. But we had church. And I'll tell you, and I'd take up the offering. You know who the congregation was, don't you? We laughing, but I'm telling. Could I put it this way? That was some old time days. I don't mean this wrong. Please don't take this wrong. Ain't many people doing that on Saturday night now. Ain't many church families doing that at their house on Saturday night. Nobody taught me that. The Holy Ghost taught me that. Thank God both of them saved. Amen. Thank God I got grandchildren saved. Thank God I got some great-grandchildren that need to be saved when they reach the age of account. I'm just telling you, he taught them boys to work. He taught them boys to worship. He taught them boys about women. Boys, you can't marry none of them ungodly. So evidently, y'all help me on this. I need some help. You can tell me after church. Where did they get them three saved women? I was at everybody, nobody else got on the ark. Them three boys must have found some godly girls. You got the wives on the ark. Amen and amen. Some of you young ladies, y'all worried about being old men. You're 21 years old and you're worried about being an old man. God's got one for you. By the way, hey, boys, listen to me. Listen to me, young men. Hey, God's got one for you. Don't rush it. I'll tell you how I know he's got one for you. Think about Adam. You talk about a hopeless situation. And I'm telling you now, I ain't being uncouth. He said, don't worry about it. I'll make you one. And don't take this wrong. Go look it up. Either I studied the wrong book. And he made, tell me the word means built. He built him one. Glory to the Lord, have mercy. Are you listening? Don't feel like it's hopeless. If anybody felt hopeless, it was Adam. But God said, don't worry about Adam. I'll make you one. And he did. Amen. And she got him in trouble. Oh, Lord. No, the sin was Adam. The sin was Adam's sin. Don't say it was Eve's sin. Say it was Adam's sin. Where was Adam? Amen and amen. In a wicked day, there's still some good girls out there to find. Amen and amen. Just don't get impatient. That's way off my subject. They're all in the heart. You know Ham didn't fall till his daddy did. Listen to this. And I'm hurting. I really am hurting. Hey, look at David's life. I heard somebody preach the other day. David was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't a good daddy. Now explain that. Amen. I didn't say that. Look at what Solomon. Solomon took the excess what David did. Look at Rehoboam, right on down the line. Daddy, I'm telling you, better stay right with God. Amen and amen. Point number three, he had faith in God. The Bible said only Noah. Listen to what the Bible said. Noah only remained alive and they were with him in the ark. Everybody else got caught up in the judgment of God. But Noah and his family. Thank God for Noah. Amen and amen. Only Noah. He had no other person. Only Noah on the job. Only Noah. Only Noah's children in school. They had nobody to fellowship. Only Noah in the neighborhood. I'm just simply saying, no other person other than Noah and his family got on the ark. What a man of faith. What the Bible talks about him in Hebrews. Had no person. Had no pattern to go by. Nobody had ever seen an ark built. And I'm telling you, you go to Kentucky and you stand there and you look at that ark, it is overwhelming how that man got that ark built. If you haven't been, you need to see it. 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, 45 massive. Somebody computed it this way. Hey, if you just take the animals and for size-wise and compare them all to sheep, compare the big ones and the little ones, the average size would have been the size of a sheep. They said it would have held 125,000 sheep. And Noah built that ark to hold them. Are y'all listening? Nobody had ever built one. No pattern to go by. He had nothing to go by but God's instruction. Are you listening? I was preaching in Dunlap, Tennessee. And the preacher told me, he said, preacher, I want to take you to a place tomorrow. I want to show you something. And so it was Brother Tim McCulley. So I said, okay, Brother Tim. So we went over to the side of a mountain. And he said, now I want to show you something, preacher. There was a ramp running down that mountain. And it runs straight off the side of the mountain and straight down at least 1,000 feet. And I said, now, why are you showing me that? He said, you see that ramp there? I said, yeah. He said, people come over here, and they run down that ramp, and they run off the side of that mountain. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they got gliders. And he said, when they run off the side of that mountain, he said, them gliders, them wind currents kept them gliders.
And we have picked them up. This was in Tennessee. We have picked them up in Alabama. I said, you talking about when they run off the end of that mountain, them wind currents picked them up, and some of them even went all the way down to Alabama. He said, that's the truth. And he said, normally every year you hear about losing one. The currents wasn't right. Now, you know what I thought about that? I went back to church that night. I said, your pastor took me over to the side of that mountain today and showed me where people run off the side of that mountain. I said, you know what I think about that? I think you'd have to be slapped crazy to run off the side of a mountain. Well, you know how to go. Don't say things like that in church. So I'm at the back door shaking hands. Y'all want to hear the story? I'm at the back door shaking hands. This woman comes through. She said, you think you got to be crazy to do that? I said, ma'am, there is no doubt about it. To run off the side of a mountain, and you know some people have died. She said, I did it. I want to say, man, you got great faith. But listen to this. She said, not only that, I've strapped my grandchild to my back and done it. I want to say, you are slap crazy. Now, here's my thought about it, Brother Barry. As bad as that was, how about the first person who did it? He didn't even know about no currents, I reckon. I ain't trying to be funny. Noah built an ark. Nobody, he had no pattern to go by other than what God said. This is a man of faith. He built it by what God said. It had never been done. And he did what God said, and it floated. The Titanic sunk. Are y'all listening? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just saying, hey, by faith, no person, no path, no precipitation. Never rain. Water never fell out of the sky. Water was washed up out of the ground. Amen. And Noah's out there preaching, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. You know they laughed at him. But he just stayed at it. That's how they look at us. What are y'all talking about? The Lord coming. Man, I don't know when he's coming. I just know it says he's coming. I ain't setting no dates. You crazy to set a date. One fellow preached at our church one time, I'll eat your socks if he ain't back by the year 2000. I bet he's good and full now. Is anybody listening? Man, you can't say stuff like that. I ain't smart, but I know better than that. Don't nobody know when the Lord's coming? I know he says to look for his coming. I really am looking. I don't know if I've ever looked harder for the Lord coming. Amen and amen. It was a new project. Amen. By faith. Where would you start? I want you to go to Kentucky and see it. I want you to walk up to Kentucky and look at that ark that they built. And I want you to see, where would Noah have started on that? I'll tell you what, he wasn't no ignoramus. Are y'all listening? Them boys said, hey, Daddy. I thought this was kind of humorous. I thought about this. He said, Daddy, all work and no play makes us a dull boy. He said, you playing? Pitch it. You'll get it in a little bit. Could I give you this? A faith project that would affect the world. The whole world got affected by Noah's faith. Now listen to me. I thought this was just simple but good. Do you know our little churches spread around across the country? In this corrupt, ungodly, wicked day, our little churches here and there are affecting the whole world because we've got faith. I mean, with y'all sitting here, I don't take this as a brag. When I look back at Life Baptist Church, a little church out there by the side of the road in the country, and I think back over 45 years, nothing compared to what y'all done, but we have sent millions of dollars in 45, millions of dollars around the world. Amen. In a little faith project, in a wicked, ungodly day, millions of dollars have went a little church with a handful of people around the world. It can still be done. That's what encourages me. Even though the day is dark, we still got faith that God still go on his word and God supports missionaries around the world. Are y'all listening? Amen and amen. It was a faith project that affected the world. Amen. In a dark day. Divine provision. It wasn't Noah's idea. It was God's idea. I'm through. A divine plan. Amen. Can you imagine that big old black box sitting out there 450 foot long? Not by water, not by the lake, not by the river. Don't you know the zoning committee come up there and told Noah, wait a minute now. Hey, man, the thing is humongous to start with, but you done got it black. You know, they pitched it. It's black. That was asphalt, tar. Hey, that thing's black. That's an eyesore. And by the way, you ain't got but one door in it. What happens if a fire breaks out? Oh, it ain't going to be no fire. It's going to be water this time. Then you got to have two doors. I mean, if that we was living today, they'd say you got to have two doors. Anybody listen? Amen and amen. By the way, the door didn't have no dimension. Build it so long, build it so high, build it so wide, build the window, make it so many cubics. Amen. He didn't put no dimensions on the door. You know why? He knew an ant was going in. He knew an elephant was going in. You know the grace of God's big enough. Small enough to get a hand in. Grace of God's big enough to get an elephant in. Gets little sinners in. Hey, wow, glory. Hey, we had a service Sunday, amen, and we had a man been living in the world, ungodly, wicked, drugs, alcohol, all that, busted up his family, amen. He got saved Sunday. And we had a little girl sitting right behind me, about 11 years old. She got saved. A hand got in, and an elephant got in. Glory. Are y'all listening? I'm glad the grace of God take them all in. Are y'all listening? No dimensions on the door. Amen and amen. A door shuts you in, a door shuts you out. You got to go through the door. He said, go through the door. That's what doors do. Doors, if you come from that side, that door's got you shut out. If you go to that door this side once again, you shut in. Door serves two purposes. Shut you out, shut. And Jesus said, I am the door. He shuts people out, he shuts people in. Is anybody listening? And by the way, hey, that door, y'all have heard this before. I know numbers of you heard this before, but some ain't never heard. That door right there, hey, that's a pretty door. It's a six-panel door. Take that door off right the hinges right there and put that door right there, and we can say, man, that's a pretty door. That's a lovely door, but it ain't serving no purpose. What makes it serve the purpose? It's hung. What makes that door useful? It got hung. Hey, Jesus lived a pretty life, a beautiful life, a sinless life. But that life won't get you to heaven. He had to be hung. Is anybody listening? He would have done no good if he'd come live a perfect life, never been hung. But when he got hung, and by the way, a fellow walked up to me after I preached that. He said, preacher, could I give you something on that door? I said, man, I need all the help I can get. Yeah. He said, well, I'm going to tell you something about doors. He said, cheap doors have two attachments. He said, expensive doors have three attachments. I said, I think I can preach that, brother. He was attached there. He was attached there. He was attached there. He is a perfect door. Anybody listening? Amen and amen. Hey, I'm glad for the door, Jesus. Amen. He was a carpenter. Noah was a carpenter. Amen. Are y'all listening? Hey, that thing was a football in the field, a football field and a half long. Are y'all listening to me? And then there was a door in the side. What did they do with that spare? They stuck him in the side. Amen. I'm just simply saying, hey, listen to me. The door, Jesus is the door. He's a carpenter. Amen. There was divine preservation. I'm through. Eight went in and eight come out. Hey, I found this to be true. Since I've been saved, I fell around, I fell down, but I've never fell out. I worked on a shrimp boat. I mean, slipping and sliding, amen. You'd fall down that thing rocking, amen. You'd fall down, but I never fell out the boat. Are y'all listening? Divine preservation. Nobody was born in the ark. Are y'all? Eight went in, eight came down. Are y'all listening? Amen. Brother Larry Range years ago preached on the proper study of archaeology. Noah probably studied archaeology. Dear God, when Brother Rain said that, they about come unglued. Probably worked on the floodlights. Do you remember that, Brother Rain? Yeah. Divine preservation. See, when I got saved, I didn't know that, preacher. I got to quit. When I got saved, I didn't know that. I held on for a year because I got saved in a movement that said you could lose it. So I held on for a year. And then I found out them verses in the Bible. He read them verses in the Bible. I found out, man, I'm in. I can never be out. I can never fall out. Man, that was the second blessing. Notice this. I'm just giving you this. Amen. I know the power in an outline, but I do have an outline. Notice there was divine preservation. There was divine peace. A lion and a lamb in the same boat. And it wasn't a boat. It wasn't a ship. Amen. It was a coffin. Divine peace. On that ark was a lion and a lamb. I don't read where they killed each other. Are you listening? Amen. He feared God. I'm through. He moved with fear. The Bible said he moved with fear. I think that's a missing ingredient today. No fear of God. There's no fear of God. No fear of God. He witnessed to condemn the world. He worked. He built an ark. Amen. He went in by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 said, by faith he went in. The Bible ends that verse with by faith. He went in by faith. He come up by faith. Are y'all listening? The ark could not be, in the ark he could not be seen. In Christ we cannot be seen. Do you know we're the only religion, for the lack of a better word, religion, it talks about being in some. People are not in Buddha. People are not in Muhammad. Muhammad's not in them. We're the only religion that says we're in Christ and Christ is in us. Right. Are you listening? I'm just simply saying this thing had no rudder. Amen. It had no paddles. It was just a floating boat, so to speak, that had God directing it. And it looked like it looked the same going as it did coming. Are y'all listening? Amen. Now I'm closing by saying this. I'm through. I don't think it's hard for me to imagine this, that children may be outside one day playing, and I'll just use a little girl. Let's just say a little girl, a little boy, whatever. And all of a sudden they're playing, and all of a sudden a drop of water hits her hand. I don't think that's hard to comprehend to me. And she said, what was that? And then another one, and then another one. And then the children start saying, man, what is that? What is that doing? And they look up, and water's falling out of the sky. Well, they've never seen that before. And the man's down there preaching, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. I don't think it's hard for me to comprehend. She ran back to her house and said, Daddy, we're outside playing in the yard, and water's coming out the sky. And you told us that man was crazy. You told us when that man was down there preaching that he was crazy. And now what he said is coming to pass. And, of course, we know the story. Listen to me now, y'all, listen to me. I take this to be serious. And then it's kept coming. And you know the story. And now, friend, it's coming on up, and it's coming on up. And they headed now to trees, and they headed to mountains, amen. And, I mean, they're going as high as they can go. And they're saying, oh, I wish we'd have listened. I wish we'd have listened. Oh, Daddy, why didn't you tell us? But it's too late. And the Bible said, God shut the door. Now, I thought about that. I thought about this. If I'd have been on that ark and I'd have been Noah and those kids were beating on the side, don't let us in, Mr. Noah, let us in. We're sorry. We're sorry. Mamas and daddies too. And I probably would have opened the door if I could have. But he ain't the one shut it. God shut it. And I'm telling you, one day the door is going to be shut. And I don't care how good a church member you were, if you're not saved, you're not in the ark. So you better know. You better know. I just close out by saying this. You better know for sure that you're saved. And there was a time and there was a place that God saved your soul. Amen. That's enough. I don't want to go and tell you how he closed it out. Here's a heartbreaking situation. A little bit later, Noah got drunk and naked. All them years. Preacher, I know I preached too long. All them years of preaching and warning people. And in the end of his ministry, he messes up. I think the devil in these days is making a play for the men of God that have stood true. And he's making a play to discourage them, to knock them down, to knock them out. I think that's where we're living. Amen and amen. So by the grace of God, I want to stay faithful to God. And I found this to be true. As been preached today, it's only going to be by the grace of God. I have found that the devil can set traps that you have no idea
the traps he can set to get you. And either way you go, it's going to cause disaster. I've been preaching 45 years. I never dreamed the devil could set traps that was no decision, and any decision you made was going to cause great harm. He's a master. I hate to give him credit, but he's a master. So we better walk with God. We better stay exposed by the grace of God. Let's stand. Let's pray. We'll stand and pray.